It's a cold day in Mount Juliet, but a warm day. I'll talk about that, Johnny.
Warm the cockles of your heart.
Hey, I'm John. This is Johnny. Back for another episode. I don't even know what episode number this is. It's up there, though.
It's too many.
Like, we're both exhausted. What else is there to talk about, guys? Man. I have an issue with the expression fight fire with fire. I mean, my wife and I had this conversation the other day. Like, predominantly when there's a fire, is the first thing that you think to do is, let's go get more fire?
You know what I think that's about, though?
I do think I know what it's about, but I'm just saying I think we're using it out of context a lot.
I think, because I used to think that, too. And I think what I learned it was about is, when there's a forest fire, they go burn like a perimeter.
Correct.
Isn't that what it is?
It's a forest fire thing.
You go burn the perimeter so when the fire gets to that edge, it has nothing else to burn.
I want to change the expression to be this. Fight forest fires with fire. Like, but almost all the others, like when do we run into a building? We're like, burn down the building next to it. You know, like
you wouldn't necessarily
maybe
do
they
that
do that in a
to keep
mass,
it from spreading.
You would just fight fire with water.
Yeah.
Like that's a better, I just think we use that whole,
but not a grease fire. You wouldn't fight a grease fire with water.
You remember that time that my toaster caught on fire
It's gonna be a long slogan. Fight forest fires with fire. If it's a grease fire, use flour. Salt, baking soda. What do you put out a grease fire with?
Johnny, I have no idea.
Fire extinguisher?
If we
fight
have one.
Fire with fire extinguishers. It's not as catchy.
I don't know. I think we use it so much. Like, everybody thinks every time that there's something against them, their idea is they should be against them. But the majority of the time, you fight fire with water. Let's take Proverbs and make it into that expression. A harsh answer turns away wrath. That's not what it says.
Right.
A gentle answer, Johnny. You got to have
fight
the opposite.
Foolishness with foolishness.
Right.
That seems to be what we do a lot.
If you see stupidity, be more stupid. Like, no, guys.
Let's be better at being stupid than them.
Unless yours is a metaphorical forest fire. So maybe there's a time.
Maybe you have to burn the perimeter of that argument.
Right. But I'm having trouble. The analogous connections are hard to find without me metaphorically.
Why isn't this podcast called Analogous Connections? That would have rolled right off the tongue.
I also have some issues right now. I have a lot of issues. I just need to talk them out, Johnny.
Okay.
I'm talking about. You're on the couch, literally.
This is a safe space.
It is. I have an issue with misinformation in dieting.
Okay.
There's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah. It's supposed to be regulated, too. You know, you always see these people, like, they're selling you this thing, and then they go, not FDA approved, or whatever, and you're like, it's at the very end, though. Right. This works! Not really, though.
Results vary. There's a couple things, like my wife says. So my wife and I have, and I don't use the word dieting here. We're not dieting. We're just, stopped eating the cakes in bed for a while, okay? And
that's a diet. Bed cake is the best.
Guys, I don't know if you know this. A listener out there, let me tell you something.
Somebody out there is probably making a diet with just bed cake. Like, you know, because that's where you only eat one thing. Decided to eat. Like, if you only eat bed cake between the hours of 8 and 11, I lost 32
true.
Pounds.
You are kind of like, what's the fasting called?
Intermittent.
Yeah, you're intermittent as long as you don't eat again to the next night. I had 7,500 calories every night from 8 till 10.
Then you see them cheating, but what it is they have their comforter around them. They're like, you're not in bed. Get that cake out of your mouth.
It's 1 in the afternoon. That's funny. I realize, though, as we're doing this, that my wife says things all the time to me that I've done this long. I've gained and lost weight enough times to know that this is all just being used for whatever suits her purposes. So, for example, one of the things would be, she said this to me today. So we had something to eat the other night, and I gained weight the next morning.
Okay.
It was on the diet, but it was like a more, you know, it was like a fight. I think it was cauliflower mash or something.
You gained weight on cauliflower?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is why you shouldn't weigh every day, by the way.
I ate too much of it. And so she says, well, you know, the weight you have today is actually reflective of what you ate 2 days ago. You ever heard this one?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's not true, because if I ate nothing tomorrow, I would lose weight the next day. I wouldn't say, well, I had a big meal 2 days. Like, it only works when you gain weight when you thought you were going to lose it, that now you look back. I'm like, that's
or like if somebody gains weight, you're like, muscle weighs more than fat. That's another one people do. Muscle weighs more than fat. Let's just stay the course.
Yeah, that's one. Another one is, Johnny, I think there's a lot of confusion out there about calories, because, like, you decrease your calories. Like yes. My wife will say this. She'll say, look, it's really weight loss is really.
It's math.
It's just math. It's just calories in, calories out kind of thing. You know, input, output in terms of what you burn. Okay. But then every once in a while, we won't lose weight, you know, after a couple of days. And she'll say this, I don't think I'm getting enough calories.
Right. You gotta give fuel.
Yeah.
Your metabolic engine needs fuel. I need to be eating six times a day.
I'm like,
that's
hey,
what people do. You ever see those six times a day people?
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, listen, is it calories in or calories out? Or now you're telling me if I get too many calories, then I'm going to gain weight.
Your body goes into starvation
mode. If I don't get enough. Yeah. And they go, you go into starvation mode if you don't
get
enough.
Like after a day?
Yeah. I'm like, guys, basically I can gain weight from having too little and too much?
Yeah.
That just is you guys using this to your advantage. I think that's true.
Yeah, and then you got genetics in play too, where you just go, look, your body wants to be a fat person because your parents were fat. So good luck. That's a lot of it. That's what we don't want to admit. It's like a lot of this is genetic, and your body's going to settle into a certain shape and size unless you just make it a full time job to eat cauliflower mash in bed. But here's the one that gets me is the commercial. Those are the rules. But like the ones that are like all natural. Like when they're doing it's a diet pill. It's clearly like, you know, it's amphetamines.
A pill, just like in nature.
Yeah, exactly. All natural. It's like, ugh. You know, it's like rabid coyotes are all natural too. You know, like all natural is like a thing that we've made mean something that it's harmless.
Yeah.
And it's not. Like a black widow is all natural.
Right. Almost like the kids used to go to
opium is all natural.
Remember when we were teaching youth, and I would say some kid would want to smoke pot. He'd always be like, hey, man, God put it on the earth. It's all natural. And you and I, one would say, like, hey, also put poison ivy on it. Doesn't mean like.
But have you ever smoked poison ivy?
Go for it. Let's say it's all natural, Johnny. All natural.
That's so good. So
I'm not saying I'm against pot. I'm just saying.
Oh, wow. We're going to come out on a strong stance here.
No, I'm just saying. I always thought that was funny with you saying
But yeah,
that.
You got that. And then you've got my favorite one is this plan, when combined with diet and exercise, helped me lose. You can combine anything with diet and exercise. When I kick these puppies combined with diet and exercise, I lost 42 pounds. Like, that is, diet and exercise is the thing.
Right.
So don't give me your weird product, your Thighmaster, and be like, when combined.
That's so funny.
They give you the chart when you got the, remember the Thighmaster? Did Laura ever do the Thighmaster?
No.
I know
what it is.
Oh, man, it's a,
never got
if
it.
That thing ever squirts out of there and just shoots across the room.
Oh, my goodness.
You got to hold it tight.
My goodness. Yeah, it'd be like, try this investment along with working and saving. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, that's, I never thought of that. Along with diet and exercise.
A lot of them, well, and it's like, they just whisper that part. Along with diet and exercise. It's very.
You're like, those are the things that I can't do. That's the problem.
Or remember the cereal commercials would do that? It'd be like a kid eating a gigantic bowl of cereal, part of a balanced breakfast. Like, who are these people?
How much more does he have to eat?
Well, first of all, like, who are these families that are like, today we're going to have cereal as our first course. Then I'm going to whip up some eggs, maybe make some beignets. Like, whose family? If I had cereal, that's breakfast. You know? And you should be grateful if there's any milk left that your dumb brother didn't take all the milk.
Wow.
You know, part of a balanced breakfast. Stop
it's
it.
So dumb. You know, but I hate the reason.
They have to say it because there's no nutrition
but
in
see,
cereal.
I think that's
it's all
dumb.
Sugar.
Now you're going back though to the decline of the intelligence of the consumer.
Right.
Like at some point in time, you should be able to look at the side of it. They make you put the nutrition facts and say, "Well, I thought." I mean, there's no way you should be able to read that and say, "I thought this was going to be good for me when it had 50 grams of sugar."
Do you remember when you were eating the cereal? This is pre-phone. Phones have ruined us for this. Like, there's nothing better than eating a bowl of cereal and reading the back of the cereal box.
Yeah.
Like, they started putting, like, little puzzles and mazes on the back of them. And
sometimes
you'd read the...
A simpler time.
How many carbohydrates, whatever. But it gave you, like, a... Okay.
I used to read shampoo bottles. The ingredients. Yeah.
It would be like, squirt a small amount into your hand, lather into hair... Rinse, repeat. And I always thought that was a weird one, that fourth one. Repeat. Like,
how many times?
How many times? You're just in there 12 days. They didn't say just
repeat
once. Just once.
Well, I'll repeat, yeah. How about repeat if necessary?
Yeah.
Like, if you reach up there and your head's still greasy.
Right.
Then repeat. But that doesn't flow well. Copy of the back of a. It's kind of like that old commercial used to. This is like all stuff from college. I remember you saying to me, and I would laugh till I'd cry. There was, and it sounds horrible. I'm not being insensitive.
Oh man!
But there was an old commercial for a recovery program for and it was for alcoholics.
Yeah.
And it said if you or someone you love has an alcohol addiction, dial 1-800-324. Then just keep dialing 7.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Because the last 4 digits were 7, you know? And you'd always go, I can just envision some drunk guy. And they go, hello, alcohol. Beep.
And they're just
beep. There's, you're like, sir, stop.
Stop hitting
stop
7.
Because yeah. he just kept dialing. It was such a. It was supposed to bring such hope. Like, you don't even have to remember the last 4 numbers.
They have cab companies in Nashville. You ever see the cab companies? There's like 333-3333. Yeah. Like, these are for the drunkest people.
Yeah. And there's another
just
one's like.
Just hit 3. A lot. They'll come get us. There's even a 222. There really is. There's almost every number of cab companies.
One of them is like a competitor of the other, and it has like 333, and they've crossed out the third 3 and put a 2 in it.
Oh. So,
but that's got to be confusing.
They couldn't get a good number. They ran out.
Oh, my goodness. That is very funny.
Apologies if someone's drunk right now. We don't mean to offend. But it's
no,
just,
I'm not. I'm not judging at all. I just always thought that was a funny idea. The guy just kept pushing 7.
Just keep hitting 7.
Oh, my goodness. Sir, stop dialing 7.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Okay.
This is a little bit controversial, and I know what you're going to say about it, but sometimes there's like...
Well, then it shouldn't be controversial.
Sometimes
you already know the
sometimes
right
there's what's right, and there's what's legal. You ever get into that situation?
Johnny, do I need my counsel present for this?
You do. Okay, here's what's going on. So I go into the store the other day. I feel weird telling this story because I know you're going to judge me.
Johnny, I could not judge you anymore.
I go into the store
did.
The other day, getting groceries. I got a cart full of groceries. Some hot dogs, some hot dog buns, chips, some drinks, water, the normal stuff.
Keto, right?
Yeah, keto. I check out. Check out. I get to the car. I get home. I unload the groceries. And then like a day later... I go to make the hot dogs. I had the buns. I was going to go grill some hot dogs. Mm. Hot dogs aren't there. Did I put them in the wrong spot? There's no way I put them in the cabinet. You know, you're like worried about your unloading process. So no, they're not there. So then I go check the receipt. They're on the receipt. So I go, well, they charged me for the hot dogs. I go out to the car. I'm like thinking, are there like rotting hot dogs in my car? No, nowhere. So the only thing I think is sometimes they'll put your meat in a different bag and set it to the side. Right. And then they never put it in the cart for me. So I'm like, now it's been 2 days. Kroger's just put these hot dogs back. Mm. And if I go to the manager, I'm going to show him, look, I paid for these hot dogs. I want my hot dogs. He's going to be like, well, you should.
I can't prove you didn't eat those hot dogs.
Right. I can't prove you. There's no. Where am I going? I need to see the store tapes. Like, what am I going to spend half a day to get my $3.50 hot dogs? So I told Curry, I said, we're going to. Because she said, I need some things from the store. I said, we're going to the store. I'm getting these hot dogs. She goes, what are you talking about? I go, we're going to put these hot dogs in your jacket. And we're going to leave the store with these hot dogs.
Are you serious right now?
I'm serious. And she wouldn't do it. She goes, I go, here's what we'll
you
do.
You mean because she's a functional adult.
I go, here's
I got
what,
you, right.
This is true. This is justice, though.
You mean like she's...
I've been ripped
she's
off.
She's a normal person. And then there's you.
The system has wronged me. And it bugs me so much. I know it's just $3.50, but I want my hot dogs. It's wrong that I did not get my hot dogs. There's no way for me to get my hot dogs back except for to go just take my hot dogs and somehow get out of the store with them, and then the world would be right. So here's what I've told Curry she should do. I said, get your purse. Go. We'll load up the regular groceries we're going to get. You put the hot dogs in the little cart where the kid sits, you know? You put your purse on top of the hot dogs. And then we go through the line. We put everything on the belt, and then we push it through. And as they're bagging, if they notice that there's something under your purse, we'll, we'll pay for the hot dogs. That's fine. If they don't notice it, again, we got it. Everything is just again.
Oh, my God.
The scales are tipped back in my favor. And we go out to the, and we just load up and we go enjoy our wonderful hot dogs. We didn't do it because she wouldn't do it.
Why does she have to do it?
Because it's the purse. I need the purse. I can't go in there with a purse.
You told her to put it in your jacket the first time. You don't wear jackets?
Well, the jacket
it's
thing would be...
because you're scared to do the crime.
The jacket thing would be trickier because I know they have cameras. They can see somebody putting... But if you just put it in your cart and then you innocently like, oh, I didn't even know there was a hot dog under here. I don't know what to do because I can't let it go.
Okay, I need to correct something I said. I thought I couldn't judge you harsher than I already did, but you found a way to push me.
But don't you understand why?
Dude.
I'm not going to go to jail for hot dogs. Don't get me wrong. I'm probably not going to do anything about it, but I think I should be
able
to.
Out of all the injustices in the world that could be corrected, for all the people who are suffering, this is the one you chose to push the system on? The systemic change that could be made needs to be made at
Kroger? Watch this. All they would have had to do, they've got my Kroger card number. I punch it in to get my little dumb discount. By the way, those Kroger cards are such a ripoff. Here's what they do. They log all of your purchases so they know what you can't live without. These are the things he buys all the time so they can raise the prices on you. You know 100 times that's what they're doing. They're going, well, he loves Fruity Pebbles. Next thing you know, Fruity Pebbles are 30 cents more. Bunch of losers. Okay.
Secondly, who doesn't bag their own groceries? What sort of like high-minded elitist?
No, it takes forever when you bag your own. They're there to do it. I didn't demand they bag it.
They're there to do it. They have people for this. You want to just go ahead and say it?
Well, they make a salary.
I guess they make a good enough wage. Is that what you're saying? My goodness.
So here's what should have happened.
Johnny W. running for office.
Here's what should happen when you leave a bag at the store. They should immediately go, well, here's his Kroger number. He just punched it in. At least call me. Hey, you left a bag here. We've set it aside. They didn't do that. That's on them.
But what if they didn't notice the bag till three or four people already come through?
I guarantee you what they did was either they kept my hot dogs, the bagger guy, because he's morally bankrupt, or because he thought what happened probably was he was like, ooh, I like these hot dogs. He set them aside.
He's had his eye on them for years.
What I'm saying is I shouldn't have to go home and check my groceries to make sure I got everything I paid for.
Johnny, how often
on them.
How often has this happened to you?
It's never happened.
Okay, so this is not actually a problem.
It's not a problem except
for an anomaly.
What I'm saying is there's no way to make this right without looking like a crazy person. I'm either going to have to go steal hot dogs or I'm going to have to go have a conversation with a manager about $3.50 that I left in the store a week ago.
Johnny, isn't there a third option?
To let it go?
You just let it go like a normal, well-adjusted.
I don't think this makes me abnormal. I need to hear from the listeners on this one.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I think I'm in the right. I mean, obviously, if I go steal hot dogs and get caught.
How in the world has Curry stayed married to you?
But it's not stealing.
How you fight?
The hot dogs I've paid for.
Now listen, I'm not stereotyping men.
Yeah.
But the mindset you're caught in right now is how, like we had a little argument this week, Laura and I. And I get into this mindset where in the moment, and it was over, by the way, how we were warming up breakfast in the air fryer. Because I was in a hurry to get out and there was these frozen sausages that we have, these little chicken sausages, zero carbs, by the way. And she was like, I was just going to throw them in the microwave. She's like, no, I'm just going to throw them in the air fryer. I was like, we ended up having an argument over that. But in the moment then when I'm trying to explain to her why that I'm still, after I've already apologized now, explaining to her why I did what I did when I ended up yelling at her over a sausage. You know, for the moment, it sounds so logical until it's like I rise above myself, which is what you need to do. And I see
like Patrick Swayze in Ghost.
Right. I look down and I see that this Neanderthal standing there saying just nonsensical things to his wife about sausages. Like you, by the way, hot dogs, sausages.
What is it about cured meats that are driving us to insanity?
It's the scourge of our time.
It is, man.
Johnny. Let it go. Listen, how about this?
Listen, I'm probably going to let it go. All I know is if you're ever at my house and we're having hot dogs, those may have been
stolen.
You have to think to yourself, are these the hot dogs?
You know what Grace says, Johnny? Grace says this. Are you ready?
Okay.
This Grace says is, I'm going to give you $3.50. I'm going to pay the debt that someone owes you so that you can let the debt be forgiven.
You're going to give me the money?
Yeah.
For my hot dogs?
I'm going to pay the debt that Kroger owes you.
That doesn't help. I want so badly
want revenge.
I don't want revenge. I want justice.
But that's, you give up your rights to justice under grace. You let justice. I will say this is really true.
This is really true. Like a faceless corporation that stole my hot dogs.
I got sued by a faceless corporation with faces, and I will say this. It wasn't.
And you see those faces still in your dreams.
It wasn't until though that I was taught these two concepts.
Okay,
of forgiveness.
Yeah.
John, I'm walking you through this. One, I was taught the concept of real forgiveness is it's agreeing with God about the situation. I'm going to agree with whatever God thinks about the situation, okay? Now, I don't know what God thinks about you and your hot dogs, but I'm saying with people. So I'm going to agree with what God says. That's number one. Number two.
This is the most bizarre counseling session you've ever had. It's got to be. Let me tell you what I think God thinks about you and your hot dogs. You've probably never uttered those words and never. I bet no one's ever put that sentence together.
No, that was the first. That was the first. unique in history. Two, it's that all God does care about the injustice.
Uh-huh.
He cares about injustice. He cares about stealing. Cares about all those things, right?
Yeah.
He cares. So this idea of grace means God doesn't care or there's no punishment. That's not true.
Right.
He cares deeply, okay, about it. And he cares about injustice done towards you, Johnny. But here's the thing. You, if you're going to agree with what God has done and what God says, you have this choice. This is easier said than done, but this is the whole process. The process is I am going to transfer the debts that are owed to me onto Christ. Okay? I'm going to transfer those debts. And I'm going to trust that he handles justice.
Yeah.
In that, either under grace, meaning anyone who wants his grace, he has already died for that, so the injustice has already been atoned for because someone died for it. Or two, if they don't want grace, he'll handle this at the judgment. But either way, it gets out of my hands. It's either going to be judged or it's going to be forgiven in either way. And the biggest one is me being offended that the people who have hurt me, if they've asked for forgiveness, it's already paid for. So what if Kroger asked for forgiveness?
If they asked for forgiveness.
Not to you,
oh,
but to God. Mm. What if it's already forgiven?
Hmm.
And you're wanting to hold them accountable for something that God's already declared free, and that's why grace is not fair. And he's like, it's not fair because it wasn't repaid to me. And the only way this works, Johnny, is you realize the amount of debt that you owed God in the first place.
How many hot dogs did I owe?
Much greater than the $3.50.
How many hot dogs was I forgiven?
It's the story. I'm going to say one story because it's the most impactful one, I think, on this whole topic, Johnny, and that's this. A guy owed a king like $2 million.
That's how many hot dogs?
A lot of hot dogs.
Yeah.
He came in. The king's like, pay it all back or you're going to jail. And the guy fell on his feet and he begged for forgiveness. And the king had mercy and said, I forgive you your debt. I mean, incalculable debt because the guy had no income. He had no way to pay it back. He goes out, finds his friend who owes him $200 and he grabs him by the throat. The friend asks for mercy and he says no. The friends of the friend go back to the king and say, here's what happened. And the king throws that guy in jail because the issue was, this is where I did not know.
Mm.
I didn't really believe that I owed $2 million. That's what the whole gospel is really about. So, Johnny, you owed a lot more hot dogs than has been robbed you, okay? So because of that, if I believe I was really owed $200 and all the other debts that are owed me, whether it's me getting sued, whether it's you, you know, being stolen from a hot dog pack, it's all $200 compared to the debt that I owed that put the Son of God on a cross. Boom! That's counseling, man. 101 and recovery, all in a nutshell.
Fine, I'll let it go.
I can't believe you tried to coerce your wife into stealing.
I don't think I would have ever gone through with
it.
I think I was trying to see if she was like down to be like the Bonnie to my Clyde.
If she just would have been like, sure. You'd have been like,
Yeah, she's like, I steal all the time. Like, holy moly.
Oh, that would have been great.
I don't know. I don't think I'm very good at deceiving, so I doubt I would be very good at stealing either. Like if I was trying to be inconspicuous, I think I would be very bad at it. I'd be very conspicuous at it, you know? Like some people do shoplift and they do it like for a rush. Even people that have money, they're just like, oh, this is fun, you know? And they get like a rush. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like I am owed a pack of hot dogs and I still don't think I have the guts to go take the hot dogs.
Oh, I do wonder what the listeners would say. Would they have the guts to do it?
Well, that makes it sound like I'm being cowardly by not doing it. In fact, I'm being principled by not doing it. I don't think it's about guts. I do think it's about like how somebody is wired, though, and I'm kind of a rule follower. And even though the rules kind of didn't sway in my favor this time, there's still a rule that says don't go take hot dogs without paying for them. And so I'm just still not that guy that go, even though I did pay for them. And then there's that part of like, I don't want to go talk to a manager and explain it because, that's pride.
Yeah.
So I would rather like I'm more likely to just go take the hot dogs than I am to go
just to have a conversation.
Yeah, so that's a whole other darkness it exposes.
My goodness,
I'm sure.
Guys, there's Johnny, a lot going on. I can go deep there too if you want.
There's a lot going on, man.
There's a lot. And did you not believe that God would provide the hot dogs for you that you needed in the future?
He did provide them, and they were taken from Kroger by not being put in my basket. I just think, here's what I'll say, guys. Live and learn, and check your groceries when you get to the house.
Man,
that's... because there's no going back, evidently. If they decide not to put one of your bags in your basket, you're just...
I know a lot of people, in my personal life who would have just walked back and asked the manager without the pride of it. Like,
well, but there's been days. It'd be different if it was like, I realized it right away. But you just think, you put everything away. It was a lot of groceries. Mm-hmm. And then you just go, I'll have hot dogs tonight. And there are no hot dogs. What I thought, the funny ending to the story would be, I go steal the hot dogs. If I was telling this as a joke, I'd be like, so I go back and I take these hot dogs from the store. And I feel like I got away with it. And it's kind of this weird rush. But also I'm like, justice has been served. And then I'm driving in my car like a week later, and I start smelling this awful smell, and the hot dogs are wedged in my seat,
in my back seat.
Then you got to somehow figure out a way to get hot dogs back into the store.
Yeah, you'll buy hot dogs from another store, sneak them back into Kroger.
Yeah, or you pay two times for one pack of hot dogs is what I guess I would do.
Mm. They wouldn't let you do that.
You scan them twice.
How would they wouldn't let you do that. You'd have to explain.
You do the self-checkout, and you just you say, no bagging. No, I'm going to keep it in my cart. But you overcharge yourself. So I could fix that. Mm. You know, I know how to give back hot dogs. I don't know how to get the hot dogs I paid for into my car.
The next question is does the manager of Kroger listen to the podcast? Because
that's true. Are they going to be on the? Are they going to be watching out for me? Now?
Johnny's going to be on.
My picture's going to be up. Watch out for this guy.
Oh my goodness! By the way, I think that the whole Kroger Plus card thing is really awesome, and you get a lot of free fuel points. But
I think they reward you with things you already would have been rewarded with. In other words, if the price can be that low, why not just make it that low? It's an odd thing. What they're paying you for by the discount is the ability to track your purchases.
Yeah.
And that is where it gets into weirdness for me.
I don't know.
And we give up that. We give up that convenience for...
I don't know if I care if they... I mean, I think that's just... you know, economics.
But you don't think they look
people,
at, like, okay,
supply
this
and
is
demand, a, so they're looking at the...
But that supply and demand can result in them artificially raising the prices because they know, well, this many millions of people can't live without this.
That's also...
So they're going to pay whatever it is, and we've tracked it because we went up a penny, we went up 5 cents.
But you're acting like those people did that without their consent, or that was a thing that actually they could live without. So, I mean, that's
You could just not take the discount and not let them track you. But then you look like a weirdo, like you're in a compound
somewhere.
You don't
look like a weirdo. You are a weirdo. I don't know, man. I think I feel that your level of conspiracy is growing. When the world needs to be diminishing in it, you're fighting fire
this
with
is not,
fire.
But this is not conspiracy. I feel like let's freak out about it. It's just there's definitely a thing to, like, Facebook tracks us. They track your Google searches. They track all this stuff. And they know how to tailor your, they call it tailoring your Facebook experience for you. Uh-huh. But it's basically, they know that you just looked at a sleeping bag and now you start getting like 12 sleeping bag ads in a row. Well, like that is, but I've consented to that, but it also is weird.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah. I bought 12 sleeping bags.
When you used to book your own shows.
Yeah.
Back before you had fancy agents and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you go on Facebook and see which churches were bringing in other comedians that were like you or friends and possibly reach
sometimes,
out to them?
Sometimes.
So you would track.
Not necessarily. I wouldn't look to see. Like, there are people who do that. I know some comedians who don't even post their dates because of that, because comedians will go in and be like, oh, this is so and so was here. That means they have comedy events at their.
If you like Giorgio, you'll love Johnny.
Yeah, that does happen. I don't know that that was my tactic or whatever, but sometimes I would be like, I'm in this city and I would look at, I would go on Facebook and look at just bigger churches in that area, but I wouldn't necessarily go to like, oh, Tim Hawkins has been here. Then I'll go to those.
But your agent,
he might,
he finds, he,
so you think this is the same thing?
I'm saying your agent takes data from a possible audience, a target audience,
right?
And those that look like they do comedy shows or have done comedy shows before, that they're open. They can't live without comedy, some might say.
And this is without their knowledge. Whereas Facebook, yep. I have consented to this in essence by having a Facebook account. Yep. These poor churches.
They're
being duped.
They're being right now tracked by your agent.
Targeted.
While you're sitting around worried about being tracked by Facebook and other, like, Johnny, I just think there's a big ball of wax here that you're not thinking all the way to the center of. Which I don't know, what is at the center of a ball of wax? Just more wax?
More probably starts with
a hollow. It'd be like your heart, like hollow inside. Or is it?
Maybe. Fight wax with wax. We've talked about this before because you tried to Enneagram me and you said that I have like a justice glitch. Basically, that's how you didn't say it that way, but that's
what. Are you sure you didn't hear that in a dream or something? Those words have never left
me. You said that I have a strong justice center or whatever. Like,
actually, that's a pet peeve of mine. I had a friend, by the way, referring back to the very unjust lawsuit against, with lots of lies. At one point, speaking to someone in leadership, we stopped. No, we didn't. At one point, speaking to someone in leadership, I remember someone said that to me. They were like, oh, I was like, hey, here's these three lies.
Yeah.
Like, dude, this is not okay. Well, I know you guys just have a strong justice center. And I remember like, you mean because I think lies shouldn't happen in the church, like, or against churches? Like, really? Yeah. Like, I don't think that's a justice
like
center.
It's a flaw.
I think Jesus had a pretty strong justice center, if that's your definition. Like, I think that's just right and wrong. So I don't know if I ever would have said you have strong, but to your point, I'm trying to think.
You talked to me about one time, like, as it relates to when you're proved right about something, that it's hard not to be like, I told you this was going to happen, because justice is a thing. Like, I have a problem when I see something going wrong and I was right about it and others were wrong. It's like it can be a flaw if you push it to the, in other words, if you push it to the umpteenth degree where you're just now like lording it over people that you knew the whole time.
Yeah. I don't know what your number is, 'cause I don't think you've ever taken the test. Have you?
No. Whatever number it is that refuses to take the test.
Right.
I'm that number.
But that's where I was in the beginning. So you're somewhere I would bet some good money. If my wife were here, she would have a lot more data, 'cause she's an actual practitioner, as you know. Mm. But,
I think you should take the test and answer what you think I would answer. And then I could take it. It'd be a fun exercise.
That'd be fun.
And then we could see if we match. It'd be like the newlywed game where, like, you know, you hold up the card or whatever, then I hold up the card.
That's so fun. No, number one, by the way, the tests are not the best way to do it. You'd have to actually like read a book and see which one really jumps off the page at you is the best way. But that ain't going to happen.
Well, I'm not doing that.
I can tell you right now. If I can't get you to do the 10-minute test. I would theorize with you.
Mm.
Okay. You and I are a lot alike. We think a lot alike. And we're also different a lot of ways. But I think that you're either a 6 with a really strong 7 wing. Or more likely, you're a 7 with a really strong 6 wing. So I'm a 6 with a pretty strong 7 wing, and I think that you're a 7 with a strong 6 wing, which is why we see a lot of things the same, but sometimes come at them differently.
Yeah.
The 7 in general, it avoids pain.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one of the big things. That's why they're fun. So everything's, you know, fun, but you're not always life of the party. You have that 6 side, which is motivated by fear, like me, and I'm not—
6 side, not 6 side.
Huh?
You have that 6 side. It sounded like you said I have a 6 side.
Yes,
six side.
6 with an X.
Yeah.
But you would have then, if you're a 7, that means you also have an 8 wing because all your wings are on both sides. And that 8 would be where, to me, that whole I told you so, I'm in control. So like Laura always says, an 8 at an 8's best is Martin Luther King, and an 8 at an 8's worst is Stalin. So like there's, you know, they can, it's, everybody has positives and negatives to it, but there is a real, that's that justice center type thing, you know, that you go after. But I have that too, but that kind of probably goes back to my 5, which is very analytical. So like for me, it's all about like, this doesn't align, this doesn't compute. Like that's a real for me. No. I need this box checked. This was right. You know, and just so. But a 6 also then trusts in systems and is highly suspicious of untrustworthy systems, which is where you might be as well. So if I'm the 6 is called a loyalist. So if you're my friend and I have dubbed you trustworthy, then it's almost impossible to get rid of me. Like even if you do a bunch of dumb stuff, like it's almost impossible. As long as I, you know, a system drives me crazy when I see it as fundamentally, this is my word, unsafe, because it's not, there's something within it. So like I can be in an unhealthy system, but yeah. have trust in the people who are trying and know that their hearts are trying to correct that. And I'll be frustrated with the system, but I'm loyal to the people. So it's a real like, you know, so with you, I don't know, Johnny. I think you should. I think you would love it. I don't know why you resist.
I'll do it. I'm sure. I'll
You're not going to do it. Just
I'll do it. Why not? What else am I doing?
I bet you won't do it.
Okay. I just dropped to challenge me.
This is in my old days, I would have manipulated you by that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're doing the reverse psychology thing.
Yeah. I don't do that anymore. Or if I do
Or
that.
Are you? That's what this is. I'm glad I don't do that
it's not
anymore.
Quadruple yeah. reverse psychology. That's funny. No, but I think that you do have, I think we both have a sense of, like, again, we talked about this, I'm not getting anything in the political world at all. But above all else, and I said that, what, 2-3 episodes ago, again, cognitively,
yeah.
there was a lack of alignment from 2015 forward. And I, and some of this I think is just gospel things, like I long for people, like I try to do, if I get it wrong, the way forward is acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
Some might call that repentance, but I acknowledge that I need to turn the way I'm thinking, or that what the way I was thinking wasn't right. And so, again, if you see Lindsey Graham say in 2015 that if Donald Trump gets the nomination, then the Republican Party will be over as we know it.
Yeah.
And then Lindsey Graham ends up becoming Donald Trump's, you know, greatest ally. And then Lindsey Graham, when Donald Trump does something that no one can refute as not good as president, regardless of whether it leads to conviction, stands up and now says, this was not right. This shouldn't have happened. This election's not stolen, all those things. Then 2 weeks later, Lindsey Graham stands up and says, Donald Trump's my friend and did a lot of great things, and I still stand beside him.
Right.
I look at those four things and go, those cannot coexist. Like, you're going to have to acknowledge one of them. Like, you have to acknowledge what happened in 2015.
Right.
That's just me. Everyone doesn't need that. But I'm like, hey, I'm still
That's
thinking
hard
about,
to reconcile.
Yeah, like, reconcile these things. Like, tell me I was wrong in 2015 when I said that he was going to change the Republican Party. We'd never have a Republican Party again. I don't think that anymore. But you've never gone back and addressed that.
Yeah, he left the tweet up.
Yeah. Like, you're not acknowledging it, you know. Yeah. So there's that, like, it's the same thing. My wife wanted to put the frozen sausages into the air fryer. I wanted to put them to the microwave. I was in a hurry, and she puts them in there. This is where the fight happened, John.
Oh, man.
And without a minute, she takes them out and puts them in the microwave. And I go, but you said, well, yeah, that didn't work like I wanted. I was like, so, like, again, didn't you get this stupid kind of childish? So you're saying that what I was wanting to do was right the whole time.
This is just, and your wife is just like Lindsey Graham.
And once you are... I mean, these are equal comparisons.
That
so.
Is. Here's the thing. Here's what's fun. If you know your Enneagram and you know your wife's Enneagram, because you use her Enneagram against her to manipulate her to do things. Because you know you're, in other words, here's the hot dog question. If you know, okay, this is great. If I know I want these, my justice center says I deserve these hot dogs. I paid for the hot dogs. But my pride says, I'm not going to go to the manager now 2 days later and be like, I swear I paid for the hot dogs. Give me my hot dogs and make a scene. But I know if I tell my wife and she has no such issue, she will go talk to the manager. So I just tell her the story. Can you believe this?
Yeah.
And now she goes down to Kroger in a huff. I get my hot dogs all as well. That's where the Enneagram, that's where I would be on board with the Enneagram. If I can use it to manipulate people, I'm on board.
Man. I think it happens every day. Whether or not people know Enneagram, people do know the personality of their spouse or the people around them.
It's like the old, there was a sitcom where the guy said, it might have been an episode of Roseanne, where she doesn't want to cook dinner. And he's like, I'll do it. I can do it. I can heat up my own food. And then he goes to put the, and he goes, you leave the foil on this, right? In the microwave or whatever. And she goes, give it. And then she takes it. So he, and then he just kind of smirks like this was his whole thing. All he has to do is act like an idiot. And then she'll just like, I'll do it.
Well, that's what Ryan in the office would do. Remember when the microwave was all messed up? He was like, hey, someone, you know, their food exploded in the microwave, you know. They need to clean it up and pay.
Oh, no, like, it wasn't Ryan.
Yeah, it was
like popcorn.
It was Ryan. He was like, well, someone should clean it up. He's like, why don't you clean it up? Oh, That's way over my head.
Oh, right. No, I'm
like
thinking
he goes into the whole, you know, I'm just no good. She's like, you mean you're not able to clean a microwave? Yeah, I'm just hopeless. You know, like there was this, there was a quote worthwhile here, Johnny. I'm looking it up on that front. RS. It was an RSS thing. Yeah. Yeah, see?
Yeah.
It says, Oliver Wendell Holmes, Sr. Without wearing any mask we are conscious of, we have a special face for each friend, which I thought was just fascinating. So your whole point, like, whether it's manipulation or not, whether you're conscious of it or not.
Yeah.
Todd Wagner used to say that when we're talking about the need, like if you're making a big decision, how to make it in community. Mm-hmm. He says the way most people do it now, and that's true, this is how I've done it. He says, you call one friend, you tell them your problem, you tell them your issue, you tell them what you're thinking about, you get their advice, great. Then you call another friend. You call four or five friends, get everyone's advice. You think you're taking good counsel. Mm-hmm. But what you don't realize is, like Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr. just said, you, especially if it's something wrong or you're deciding if you should make a decision because you did something bad, you know, repent or whatever, is that each one of those friends, you tell them the story differently according to who they are.
Yeah.
Because you have instinctive...
And you even chose that friend based on what you perceive their response will be, probably.
Right.
You're like, this guy will side with me.
Yeah.
I'm going to him first.
And to the person who you know will be easier on you, you're more truthful, probably. And the person, but you don't mean to be. And the person you know who will tell you like it is, you probably polished it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I did that with Laura this morning. I forgot I said something. I go, that's my old ways of me... just leaving out one little detail to make myself look a little bit better. It wasn't something we laughed about it, but like that's a thing I've always done.
Right.
Just didn't realize it. He says, so the key is if you really want good counsel, biblical counsel, is you bring all five people to the same table so that nobody can.
And then five masks. Wait. No.
Well, then no matter what you do, they all hear what each other. You can't, no one can misconstrue what everybody at the table means. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, and so that's, that, I think it's just, It's a radical wisdom. I think it's more biblical because it's true. I got a mask for everybody, and I don't know that I have it, so that's why I have to bypass it with some sort of system, Johnny. So the key to the hot dogs the whole time would have been that you gather me, your wife, and your community around you.
I said, what do I do?
Right. And then all of us would tell you that you're crazy.
Let it go.
Don't be an idiot. We would have all pitched in and
gone.
Don't
throw your future away
over
on a pack of Hormel. Yeah. I still don't feel much better about it, but I'm going to find a way to, it's just a hot dog. Well, it's five hot dogs.
Could you accept the payment for the debt by another via proxy?
I don't.
Cause it's kind of the, could you let me pay the debt?
I don't want you to pay my, I don't want, that would bother
That's
me.
That's what people don't want either from Jesus, isn't it? They want to go get.
Are you trying to be Jesus in this?
They want someone else. They want to go avenge it themselves.
Right.
Johnny.
I don't want revenge. Revenge would be to take two packs of hot dogs. I'll show you.
You think revenge only, that's not true. If someone kills someone you know and you go kill them, you don't go kill two people in revenge. You try to equalize the situation. Revenge is the essence of justice gone wrong.
I guess, but...
Oh, my goodness.
It's like, I don't want to... Revenge to me would be to do to them what they did to me, which is to take one pack of hot dogs from them. They took a pack of hot dogs from me. So to take one pack back would just be to make it even. To make it what they did to me, I would take a pack of hot dogs extra from them.
I want to ask a serious question right now. Do you have anyone tied up in your basement right now? Because I'm beginning to wonder about Johnny's sense of justice.
You know my moral turpitude.
Turpitude.
You know what's going on in here. I'm not going to do it, but it bothers me that I can't do it.
Wow.
I want to live in a society where if you shorted me a pack of hot dogs, I go get them back, and we're all good.
It's an eye for an eye, a dog for a dog.
You know what I need? I need somebody on the inside to look the other way for me. I need to start assembling a team like in Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
You know, where I've got like a guy on the inside.
I can see the logo right now. It's Ocean's, and the 11 is the two
it's
hot
two
dogs.
Two hot dogs. Grill marks.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, besides the spurious theology, I'm down for this. You know what I'm saying? I think you have...
Like it's a caper.
Yeah.
You know,
you're going to buy some capers too.
Yeah, it's one of those movies.
You're
going to
relish
like,
the whole.
Oh, John, sorry. No, I'm sorry. You ended this on dad jokes. We were so close. It's okay.
Oh, Johnny, I'm not a dad. I wasn't making this.
Here's what, you know what would make me feel better? Is if like a listener sent me a pack of hot dogs. Well, like they hear the story. You're just trying to do what you do because you really think I might go do this. And you're like trying to keep me out of jail. And I've confessed in advance on a podcast.
Let me ask you this. Would you have the pride to call me to come bail you out?
What if I told you the story and then I go, and then I did it? And I was speaking to you on the other side of having taken these hot dogs back. What would you have said then? You'd be like, what would you do with me?
I would tell
Does
you.
Your justice center say, I got to turn him in? What kind of person are you to be stealing hot dogs, you would say to me. And I'd be like, John, you know me. I'm your friend. You go, I thought I did know you.
You've played this out in your head a lot, haven't you? I would tell you to go take it back. I would tell you to fix the problem.
What if I said I ate the hot dogs?
Then I would tell you to do your other plan and go buy two packs and charge yourself twice. Or go buy one pack and charge yourself twice. Although I hadn't thought of that till you said it.
I'm getting ready to go over there and buy. I'm getting ready to go and scan the hot dog. I don't know what I'll do. I'm not gonna plan. I'm just gonna live my life, John, and we're gonna let it go. I may never eat a hot dog again. I think a hot dog now is going to be a source of pain for me.
You think so? I was thinking you live down the street from a Sonic. Why don't you just go get a Coney that night and be done with it?
I don't like the Coneys.
Really?
They're too messy. They're gigantic, first of all.
Do they have to have chili? Can't you get them without?
Oh, come on. What are you doing to me?
So you don't want the chili, but you also don't want it without the chili. Johnny, what is
You shouldn't have to eat a hot dog with a fork because it's a big mess. It's like a casserole. It's like a mess
digging
into it. But
they have a non-chili cheese Coney.
They do.
It's just a cheese Coney.
You know what I love is the little ones, which they blew a total opportunity there. You know, the little short ones?
Yeah.
You know, they're not called Shetland Coneys? That's irritating to me. All they had to do was call me, and I could have helped.
Oh, my goodness. They have also messed up their commercials now.
Oh, they don't have the two guys?
They're just normal people in a car talking.
You know what? You know what that's about?
What?
No, it probably isn't that because it can't be. Well, it is, though. I bet you $100 this is what it is. Those people in the car are a family. So they're communing together. So they are not. It's COVID. So if they have those two guys together, they probably think it's a bad, they're setting a bad example.
Well, they just,
although we don't know those two guys don't live together.
Is it Verizon commercials?
If you know what I mean.
Johnny. Is it Verizon commercials where they're like at the bottom and just says, this commercial was made safely, even though they're not wearing masks or anything? Can't you just put a disclaimer?
Yeah. They used to do that now on social media when you post a photo. This was taken 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You have to make sure people don't prejudge you.
Yeah.
But I bet you that's what it is because those people in the car, maybe they just moved on because those guys have been doing commercials forever. But those two guys joking together, you're like, they don't.
Those guys are funny.
They are. But they go, they don't. It's setting a bad example because they should not be out at Sonic together.
But who wants to see a normal family?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I can see that every day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, not in my house.
No. I don't think.
I can look next door at the neighbors. It's, yeah. They have a pretty normal family. Mm. Oh, listener, hopefully you're having a great week with your normal family. Hey, I do want to say something, Johnny.
Yeah.
And since I have a microphone, I want to do it. So last night I graduated from our recovery program. Well, yes. That's a tongue term. A tongue term, jeez.
That's a tongue
wrong,
term.
That's a tongue-twisting wrong way to say it. that we had a commencement last night, but you really don't graduate from recovery. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, if you don't keep doing it, it doesn't matter. You're going to be where you were. So, but we had, probably 30 people that came through this.
Right.
And they gave, you watched online last night. They gave just amazing. We all gave a minute and a half testimony kind of thing that you write through the course of the process. And you were one of my mentors, and I appreciate that. Still have a lot of things I'm supposed to read to you.
You do.
Yeah, sorry about that. We'll have to do that.
I feel like I gave you some inventory of my own today. You saw deep into my soul.
Yeah. And the thing about it, it's called regeneration.
Yeah.
And it was really awesome. It's a 9-month program. It's a national program out of Dallas, Texas. So we're one of the sites here. And through COVID, obviously, it threw a lot of curveballs at us. And normally you meet in person, have a large group, but it's all video based and stuff as well. Even when you meet as a large group, you're watching videos out of the program. And mm-hmm. It's daily work. And it's for recovery. It's not just for people who have alcohol, drug problems. Like, we have those people. We have people addicted to porn. We have sex addicts. We have people who are recovering from a grave fear of others and their need for their approval, worry, control. There's 120 something things or 40 things on a list, and all of us have a lot more than we think. And so it's a Christ-centered process through, but it's a 12-step program. So mm-hmm. they use a lot of the same principles as AA and other things like that. So it's really, really good. A great time with the guys in the group is you're in small groups. It's not for everyone's mess to be known to everybody. It's not like that, but it's learning to walk out with somebody. And I feel healthier. Still, I feel like I'm more in touch with what my brokenness is. That's one of the things, the exact nature of my brokenness I'm more aware of. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I don't have that. I need Jesus every day for that. But I'm also aware of it. So when I start to really fall into worry, I'd spend days there worrying and obsessing. And now when I begin to fall there, I go, okay, I know that. I know why I do that. I know, you know, there's you know, and things like the Enneagram have helped with that as well. So, but people have, there were, you know, lots of survivors of abuse, and others have gone through this with us as well. And it's just really amazing. So I'm telling the listeners this because normally, you know, you have to be at the church to do that. But because of COVID, the national program has figured out that they can do this with anyone, anywhere. Like, you can be in a small group anywhere in the world.
Yeah. We had somebody reach out actually on our, I don't know if you saw that comment. There was a message on our Facebook, and they were asking about Regen.
I missed that.
So yeah,
was this recent?
So this, we could give the information to them now if they're listening.
Was that a recent comment?
It was pretty recent.
If we let them down, okay, I missed that.
Yeah, we definitely let them down.
Sorry, guys. So yeah, if you're a listener, so we'll send that out actually then this week. If we'll put it on our Facebook.
Yeah. But maybe we can put it in the notes of the description or something.
Yeah.
Too.
The next registration or the next Regen for us, you could do it through us. Starts, and you can be in a small group on February the 27th. So that's a Wednesday night. It's a Wednesday thing for us. Usually we may have some groups that meet off of Wednesday as well, but you can be in a large group, small group, watch the videos, the whole thing. It's a 9-month commitment. There's a lot of work, and it's so worth it. Like it really, really is. But there's no condemnation. It's great. Like stuff like in your groups, there's no crosstalk. I mean, like, everyone just doesn't talk to everybody else about everything. Like, you guys hang out for a while, and then you ask, your leaders ask questions, and you read what you've written, or you can pass. And someone can't be like, no, wait a second, did that really happen? Like, it's nothing like that. This is about you and your recovery, and you get through it. They begin to lessen some things that you know each other, you can trust each other, but it's a very, very safe environment, mm-hmm. and it's tested. I mean, lots of people have done it. So last night was amazing hearing everybody talk about what God had done in their lives. So you can go to, actually, if you guys want to go to church@pleasantgrove.com or grovechurchmj.com, you can go to our Regeneration Recovery page, and you could sign up there.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah.
So it's that link is already open. But any of you guys out there, I just thought, man, we can really open that up now for people who are looking to do, if you're in a place of desperation, or if you're not, or you think my life has been in a place of desperation a long time, I'm never going to have time to do anything about it. I don't know why. Trust me, you don't have to know all the reasons. I just think it's a good thing for anybody. I really, really do. So check it out. church@pleasantgrove.com. Just go there and look at our recovery, or regeneration is the name of the program page, and you can sign up for that. And we'll probably plug it for a few more weeks until that sign up happens. But I just came through, and it was awesome. You can also go to our website, Johnny, for everything else.
Talk about that, podcast.com.
.com, yeah.
And all the episodes are archived and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Links to our Patreon, if you wanted to kick in a couple of bucks.
Shekels.
Maybe $3.50.
Just come on, guys. A little hot dog fun for Johnny.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, shout out, by the way, to our friend who does the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.
Oh, yeah. Allison Holland.
You guys have heard Allison and Jeffrey on
the podcast. She's a shooting star, let me tell you.
Yeah, her podcast is charting in the top 50 Apple podcasts for history. And
she's sharp, man.
Like, it is unbelievable. We're really, really, really excited. Great podcast. You should go check it out. The Kennedy Dynasty.
We need her help with marketing.
Yeah, no kidding. She's a marketing person. We've asked. She does help us, actually, a lot.
She does, but come on. More.
We
help.
Need more.
More with the help.
More. So, but no, we're so excited, man. It's just awesome. It's a worthwhile podcast. Of course, I'm a history guy, so I love talking those things, and Allison works hard on that. So go check it out. Also, keep sending us your questions and comments and other things that you obviously, Johnny just told us about a comment that apparently Johnny saw and decided not to tell me and didn't even reply to. So
I forgot, and then when I saw you, I forgot to ask, like, is this a national program? Can they sign up?
Were you worried
anywhere?
They'd stolen your hot dogs, and that's why you
vindictively
said
that's
no.
That's my issue that I'm working through.
Hi, we always open, hey, my name is John, I have a new life in Christ, and I'm in recovery for, Johnny's gonna be like, my name is Johnny, I have a new life in Christ, I'm in recovery for hot dog thievery. Like, yeah. You know, what is it? I don't know how you'd name it. You just added to the new list, so. And Johnny's going to take the Enneagram and Enneagram test before next week. Is this true? He said yes. He shook his head.
I'll take
everybody.
The online thing. Yeah, I'm okay. Not going to read the book and do the whole in-depth thing.
No, that's fine.
It'll be like if I was going to see if
God
I had COVID.
You read a book.
If I was going to see if I had COVID, I would do the Insta test. Right. I'm not doing the 8-day.
Not doing the 8-day one
for you
because you don't really want to know.
So you're saying it's just like the instant because you're saying it could be the results are more. Whatever.
Some people think they're one thing, and as they keep growing, like it's because listen, there it's. I have to remind you of this.
Or do they grow into that because, like, I don't want to be that? So they start.
Well, there is some of
answers.
That, but there's no bad number. There's no bad thing. There's all positive, and it all has positive, all has negative.
Like, okay.
And nobody's one thing. Like, just because you were a six with a seven wing, you know, if that's what I thought, if that's what you ended up being, or seven with a six wing, like, you would still be a unique person who doesn't look like anybody else who's a six with a seven wing. Just you guys would share motivations, and you might see some things in others that would help you. Address, but you know, they're not going to have your hot dog issue. I can guarantee you that. There's not another human on this planet who's going to be worried about that. So you will be completely
unique.
I've got
special neuroses that only apply to me. That's right. Wonderful. Good to hear.
But guys, thank you for listening every week. It means a lot. It's been a crazy couple years here, and you guys have stuck with us, and we appreciate that. So maybe bring somebody along to listen with you, because we have great places we're going to go. We'll see you in those places next week on
Talk About That.
Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. God invites us to cultivate thankful hearts by turning our eyes toward Him in good times and bad. To listen to more Abide Christian Meditations, just go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Abide Christian Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for more biblical meditations at abide.com.